Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Work Trends with Megan M. Biro. Whether you're here to network, learn, or share, we want you to have fun. During this live broadcast and Twitter chat, we'll discuss the future of work with smart and entertaining guests who value today's business and its impact on the world of work for the future. Stay tuned, because we start in 3, 2, 1.
Greetings and salutations, my friends. Happy Wednesday, live here from Cambridge, Mass. It's a beautiful yet humid summer day. I, just so everybody knows, I'm getting ready for a two-week vacation. I'm heading up to Maine to get away, but I'll still be plugged in. Oh, the irony. We've got some special guest hosts that you'll find out about soon enough that are going to be subbing in for me while I'm on vacay. And so stay tuned for those updates. I want to thank everyone for being here today, everybody who makes it possible to do this. Listen, today's work trends is a hot and very important topic, and one that we talk about often here at Talent Culture. The future of work, it's upon us right now. This means sitting back and waiting for things to happen rather than trying to affect change and create better work cultures now. That's going to manifest in the future, and just sitting back and hanging back, that's not a good tack right now. So with us today is somebody who's very interested and well-versed on the future of work, what we can do now to improve our workplace conditions, and not just in the psychological aspects. Yes, that's important. Everybody knows that. I'm hugely a fan of making culture important and valuable and all that great stuff. We're going to be talking, though, about the physical environment and its impact on people's mindsets, attitudes, and productivity levels. So without further ado, we've got Michael Jordan here. No, not that Michael Jordan. Although he's coming on maybe in my dreams sometime in a couple of weeks. This is Michael Jordan, who leads the JLL People in Process Consulting Practice. He uses his expertise in strategic planning, process improvement, and change leadership to help companies achieve their goals. He's very cool. We just met. He's an avid kayaker. He's a coffee nut. He lives in Portlandia, the coolest place on earth right now, with his wife and 4 sons. Welcome, Michael.
Great to be here, Megan. Thanks.
We're so thrilled to have you here. Tell us just a little bit more about yourself.
Well, I think you hit the high points. You know, with the I chased my 4 sons around. They're on the young side, so that makes me tired. Then the more I do that, the more coffee I need. Then the more I want to play with them, and then the more coffee I need, right? But it at work, the whole goal is to help our clients to use new innovations and strategies in how they tap or how they create their workplace and its related programs. So we should get into that, about how we're not just going to talk about the workplace today. We're talking about the whole system that makes people able to be productive. But so helping with the productivity of the employees in that office, or at the company, making the whole program more efficient. It's kind of a cool way to manage, at the end of the day, the triple bottom line of corporate America or corporate business globally, where we're trying to find ways to create financial value, social value, and even environmental value. So I'm right there in the middle
of it. Cool. Well, Portland is like a mecca for all that, right? As somebody who used to live in Seattle, I love the Northwest. I'm a huge fan. And there's so many progressive people and brands out there. Tell us, our audience, a little bit about JLL, because, I mean, maybe people haven't really heard of this corporation, and you guys are huge, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start. I think JLL is a company. People who have heard of us may think of us as real estate brokers. We are big in the business of helping companies to find space to put their employees. But from where I sit, how I like to think about JLL is is it's managing a huge amount of space that where employees do their work. So picture somebody's in each company deciding how much office space do we need, where should we put it, what should we put in the offices. And JLL supports those decisions for about 4 to 5 billion square feet of property around the world. So managing property, creating the environment for where employees are doing anything from writing software code or designing products, building machines. So think about in that 4 or 5 billion square feet, that's where people are doing their work. And so we're there to help our clients to create the best environments for people to do that work.
Mm-hmm. And do you get to travel much? I know you're busy chasing around those four kiddos, so it's a balance, right?
The companies that we work with are really all over the world, just the nature of the work these days is you go where it's needed, and so my Twitter handle is the Traveling MJ for a reason.
Love it.
So we see
how
people do this. Yeah, we see how people do this work in markets around the U.S. or internationally, and it can be quite different the way that you manage real estate and workplace programs in Bangalore is going to be different than Boston or different than here in Portland. So it's a really cool way to see the culture in that physical environment of the workplace.
Is it safe to say that companies are using real estate as a strategic culture lever to transform their organizations for the future of work right now?
Yeah, I think the smart ones are. We're probably still early in the adoption curve of really tapping into real estate programs for strategic value for companies. But the companies that can learn to use location and place, that can learn to use the workplace as a way to empower employees, make them more engaged at work. Those are strategic questions, right? And it's maybe a little bit of the, what do people usually think about when they think about real estate and facilities in their companies? The typical employee probably thinks more about things that need to be fixed, clean. Keeping the offices clean, but it's really much more strategic than that when you get to provide all the different services that employees need to have a good experience in the workplace. And that's where the strategy is coming in now, in recognizing all the facets of experience and how you can design experience to create outcomes, to create a productive work environment, to create a place where people are going to be more engaged, a place where people want to do more, where they feel connected to their company. And those strategic issues require a whole different perspective on what data do we need, what programs do we need. So it's a really interesting time to be working in real estate and facilities and workplace in the corporate space.
When compared to HR or say IT, is corporate real estate that important? I just got to throw it out there at you, Michael. Is it that important to a company's talent attraction, retention, and productivity strategies? Like, I don't think a lot of practitioners in the space of talent or HR right now are necessarily putting this on their radar or connecting these dots. So talk to us about a better way that we could possibly think about this.
That's a good question, Megan, because I think it's really what you're really talking about, your insight into just how you're looking at the differences between HR or IT or real estate. I think it's the tension between, I think it's the tension between good and evil, if you want to come right down to it.
I love it.
Good,
How
good,
so?
Good and evil. Yeah, because people in different companies think of HR as the good side of the company, right? I mean, think about the dictionary. The HR dictionary has words like compensation and benefits and talent and all those things that we all want, right? But then when you look at the corporate real estate group, well, the story is a little different. The dictionary
sure
for corporate real estate, the dictionary for corporate real estate is all built around needs like I'm too hot or the bathroom needs to be cleaned, right? It's more of that necessary evil. We spend a lot of money on it, but most companies historically just look at it as, wow, I'm spending so much money on my facilities. I really want to cut these costs, so we can't live without it. But it's kind of that necessary evil. I don't know if IT is on the good or the evil side, it probably depends on the group.
Yeah, they could be more inclined on the evil side, but then again, so's HR. So we're turning this whole conversation upside down today, Michael Jordan. You know, I think we're all looking at things differently. I hope so, at least, because there's people in these buildings. I don't care if you're in Bangalore or Singapore or Tokyo or Boston or Chicago. We are supporting culture by supporting our people, right? Yes, I'm biased, but I think more and more people are seeing that employee engagement remains an issue. We have talent retention problems, right? We have a lot of issues with our best assets, which tend to be our people.
And that's the crux of the whole issue, right? Is the talent. So I know that to this point about is real estate really a factor compared to say HR or IT? And I know that employees care most about who's my manager, and they care about their compensation, and they care about what their job content is. You know, those are all issues that are well outside of the real estate sphere. But when those things are basically, when those needs are basically met, the collaboration between HR and IT and corporate real estate can really make the difference between good and great, right? The team, when those teams work together in this area of talent, there's a huge opportunity. But I've talked to HR leaders at pretty senior levels who have never even considered that the workplace could be part of their talent toolkit. And having those conversations now is pretty interesting. Those are the conversations we're having now is if some of the tools for winning the war for talent are certainly HR related, compensation and management skills, the battlefield for that war for talent is the office, right? The workplace. And so where we can provision that culture and make it real to employees to create the sort of quiet surround of culture for where they go every single day. That's an interesting opportunity for how to further everybody's goals for what talent is there for.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a person personally who's always been interested in art and design and culture, right, from a lot of different perspectives. So I think when you talk about talent and what gets people up in the morning and what makes them want to work at company A versus company B, for me, if I was to ever go back into an office on any full-time basis, workspace would be very, very important to me. I mean, I want to be able to feel like I have a view. There's a sound, there's a feel, there's an emotion. I may be a little dramatic and over the top about it, but I don't think I'm alone. I think there's a lot of people who really dig workspace and, you know, put their value into that, but not everybody does, you know. You may not care about those things. So I think, you know, this is an interesting topic from that perspective, too, of how people's personalities play into how interested they are in certain types of cultures and workspaces. So tell us this. What are some ways that workplace can, and just in general, a workplace, or you can give us maybe some case study info if you want to, but what are some ways that a workplace can increase employee engagement and help employees have more meaning or feel more empowered at the workplace?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we probably need to expand the lens a little bit first, Megan, to because we're not just talking about what happens at the workplace itself. The same group, the corporate real estate function in big companies, that takes care of what's in the workplace, also makes key decisions about this whole system that I referred to earlier, right? So take location. I'll bet you'd be disappointed if that corporate job, if you ever decided to go back into that world, if it were out in the suburbs and you had to drive an hour in Boston traffic from your place in Cambridge, right? Those location decisions about, well, are we going to be in a suburban market, or are we going to put our office in a cool neighborhood like Cambridge, you know, next to innovations coming out of universities and startups in the tech space, et cetera, deciding where to locate company space based on critical adjacencies and access to talent, that's the same group. So your experience with the workplace, quote unquote, starts way before you even get to the office. It starts with your commute. And then once you get in the office, a big one for engaging employees and making people feel more empowered, a big one is choice. This is oftentimes the number one issue we hear from employees about needing to be able to have the flexibility and choices of where to work in the office. So the days where you sit in your office with the door shut doing the same type of thing all day long, those are long gone or very unique. But today you're looking for a place where you can do some heads down concentration work. Concentration is one of the biggest drivers, according to our research. About half the people we talk to in our human experience research, 47%, think that being able to concentrate is a or the top priority in the workplace. But on the other hand, when you're looking to collaborate with your colleagues, being able to work in a collaborative space where you can have access to technology for your colleagues in remote locations, that's another one too. So, but flexibility
and
choice
huge,
is very,
by the way.
Yeah, it's very empowering and engaging.
Remote workers, Michael J., right? What's going on with that, and how is that affecting employee engagement? What are companies doing to attract culture yet keep people with that flexible remote culture?
This is another one of those kind of strategic decisions to make, because I think the primary requirement will always be the top talent for the job, as opposed to the closest, the person with the talent that happens to be closest to where you're working. I think you're always going to see the need especially as work becomes more digital, where virtual collaboration is more and more possible, the remote worker having access to the best talent possible, no matter where they work, is critical. And being able to build a system, this is maybe the collaboration between HR and IT to maximize the productivity of remote workers requires the workplace systems or technology to work remotely, to collaborate still with your colleagues, but also requires some very key skills on the part of management about being able to feel comfortable that their employees are working even if they don't see them right there in the office. It's a huge opportunity for collaboration. Yep.
Yeah, it is. And lines are blurring. That's really, I think, the meta here of this theme today. Lines are blurring between the domain of HR and talent and say corporate real estate executives, right? Everything with transformation is making us look at things in such a different way. I think it's exciting, but it also it's very challenging. Tell us attracting. Yeah.
I think we got to blur the lines deliberately, right? They are.
Yeah.
They're getting fuzzier, kind of on their own, but blurring those lines between HR and the corporate real estate team. I'll give you a couple examples.
Sure.
You know, getting back to for this, you know, remote workers or mobile workers. In other words, people being able to work where they need to get the job done. And in HR, there's always a focus on certain management competencies. And the HR department for a typical company probably has a competency model for executives and managers and individual contributors, et cetera. But when part of that competency model, if it includes managing to outcomes, that ability for managers to manage their employees to outcomes is critical if you're going to untether people from their office or their desk and let them work where, anywhere, anytime, any place, you know, for what fits the task they're trying to do. And that ability to work flexibly is always one of the top requested workplace or work style benefits from employees today. But managing to outcomes now is something that corporate real estate is helping managers to focus on to develop those competencies. And then so that line between where that the competency of being a good manager might have been the purview of HR to name and train is now also wandering into corporate real estate too, because it's so important for optimizing the real estate footprint and for making workers successful in new ways of working. And there's probably one other one at least, right? Change management. When we talk to our corporate real estate clients, they're change agents now. You know, they need to be able to take their organization to the future, and they also need to be able to support their business partners in the enterprise to drive change themselves. And I think those business partners historically probably would focus more on going to HR for support in managing change. But now they're able to also lean on the corporate real estate teams who understand the nature of change management better than before, and who are asking us now for help in formal change management frameworks and training and tools in ways that they never had to worry about before. And it's a lot of it is because to unlock new value from that necessary evil, they have to be able to work differently. They have to be able to drive change.
Well, speaking of value, Michael, how can a physical environment help companies address the needs of this multi-generational workforce that I talk a lot about, where baby boomers and millennials are working side by side with a variety of working styles and a variety of motivators? To me, this is one of the most important questions of the day.
Yeah, the different... For the first time now, we're having 4, 5, 6 generations in the workplace at the same time, working side by side, working together collaboratively. And because as the organization starts to de-emphasize hierarchy in the workplace, that's going to make this put this more into relief that everybody's working together across all levels of an organization. That said, the demographics of the workforce for a particular company, even the demographics within a particular location, can have a lot to do with how the real estate and the workplace should reflect the different work styles. So if there's more...
Wait a minute. Did you just say work styles or war styles? Either could be applicable, by the way, Michael, right?
I think so. Yeah, it's a jungle war out there. But those work styles are very different for different demographics. younger workers might be emphasizing more. I think there's a lot of focus on the use of technology, right? But they also expect the work life to be more open. They expect work to be more collaborative, and to create a technology-driven, open, collaborative workplace is a design art in and of itself. But that also can rub baby boomers the wrong way, where partly due to their work style, partly due to their job content, maybe they're looking
right.
for more concentrated space, more private space. But that ability to know to design for that mix of demographics and to unlock really and enable each group for how they like to work is becoming more complicated. And as we go to kind of this mass customization, where we're trying to provide everything that everyone needs, it's just making it more complicated and more expensive.
Can you give us a few examples of how companies are harnessing digitization, right, the digital world, digital transformation, and data to drive change in the workplace? We'd love to hear just some real-life stories.
Sure. I mean, historically, the real estate space has had a lot of data related to where the money goes. So how much space we have where, and how much money it costs to manage space. And to be able to then say, some real estate examples. So then to be able to say, what happens if we move our offices from Boston to DC, or if we want to take advantage of new sources of labor in Dallas or Denver, what happens if we change our portfolio? That used to take, that could have taken a couple of weeks or a couple of months to run all the different analyses on the implications of those scenarios. But now, because the tools for managing data and for doing more what if scenario planning are more sophisticated, you can use your own portfolio data and you can run different scenarios in hours now, as opposed to having to wait for all the manual number crunching. So in digitization within real estate, it's making some of the old analysis a lot more efficient. But it's also providing new capabilities. So going digital in real estate now means using services apps for employees to be able to request services or to access the building, or to, in some places, some companies we work with, employees can use an app on their phone to request to change the temperature of their workspace. So changing temperature.
That's pretty cool,
or,
by the way. I love that.
Right. Yeah. Or scan
I mean,
a QR code.
There, right. Yeah. That's a driver for somebody to go work there, right? Listen, Michael J., the Michael Jordan, right, the one and only, we're down to about 2 minutes left of this discussion. Then we're going to take this party over to Twitter. In 90 seconds or less, real estate is a major expense for most organizations. How can companies ensure they're getting the best financial performance out of their space in terms of employee productivity and retention? And then we'll take this conversation over to Twitter.
Focus on what employees need for productivity. So look at it from the employee's perspective, design from the user's experience inward, as opposed to just pushing programs. If you take that opportunity, and if you understand experience across the board and know how to connect it to work and to programs, you're going to be in much better shape. Focus on what employees need.
Oh, I love that. And on that note, Michael Jordan from JLL People and Process Consulting Practice, I want to thank you for your time and your insight today, and look forward to hearing more about this topic from you.
Great. It's been a pleasure talking with you, Megan. I can't believe how fast the time goes.
I know. Say hi to my friends over in Portlandia, would you?
Will do.
See ya.
See ya.